I've been greatly helped, as I've said before, by this book called Christian Essentials by Ken Oakes. It's been very helpful to me in preparing these sermons. And today I've been looking as well at Mark Deaver. He's got a really book called Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. And another one here, Why Bother with Church? There's a question. And Things to Pray for Your Church. These books have been really helpful to me. But of course, the most helpful book we have is God's Word. And we continue our series this morning now, Nine Essentials for the Follower of Jesus. We've been considering one essential per Sunday, taken from a book that I've just talked about there. And the essentials we've looked at so far is 1, salvation through grace; 2, God's Word, the Bible; 3, prayer; 4, witnessing; and 5, suffering. And now today we come, as Josh told us, it's number 6. And this time, this one is called membership. That's what we're considering this morning. It's meeting together as followers of Jesus regularly in a gathering called the church. So let's read from Acts chapter 15, Acts 15, verse 1 to 21 together. Acts 15. All these essentials, we've based them on the book of Acts and the early church. So we're going to start at verse 1 through to 21. 15 verse 1. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch. They were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told the Gentiles how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God knows the heart, and showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try and test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, things known from long ago.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." And we'll end our reading there at verse 21 of chapter 15. Even in the early church, right from the get-go, there were things that caused conflict and things that needed to be resolved. Notice here in the opening verses, the words, the church, are mentioned twice, the church. In verses 3 and 4, we have the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch sending out Paul and Barnabas. And then we have in verse 4, the church in Jerusalem welcoming Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, along with some of the believers were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about a conflict, this Jewish custom that brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with these people who had come from Judea and were teaching that believers had to obey this custom taught by Moses of circumcision. They were saying, unless this custom was practiced, people could not be saved. Who appointed Paul and Barnabas? Who sent them? It was the local church, the church at Antioch, the Antioch local church. And look at verse 4. Who received them when they came to Jerusalem? They were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders. That was the church of Jerusalem. One church sent them. Another church welcomed them. So, as we start this morning just thinking about this issue and this essential, the first thing to establish here is, what is a church? You know, other religions don't use the word church. You won't hear anyone speak about a Jewish church or a Muslim church. In this sense, church is a Christian entity. In the Bible, the word church does not mean building, as we so often use it today. So what is church? Very simply, as the Bible uses the word, church is an assembly of God's people. The word for church in our English translation of the Bible is a translation of the original Greek word, ekklesia, which literally means to call out. Church is a gathering of people who are called out by God to join together as his people, followers of Jesus. The church is a body of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for his glory alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is what the New Testament church is. It's not a building. The early church didn't have buildings for almost 300 years after the church began. Imagine saying to a Christian in the early church, what church do you go to? They'd look at you as if you had two heads. Or, where is your church? They're all around me. So this use of the word church would be totally strange to them, because church meant something different to a building. When we say church generally, we mean stones and bricks and mortar. We mean a building, don't we? But here, in the New Testament understanding, church is a gathering of people. The Christians, followers of Jesus, were the local church, not a building. In the Cork Kerry project, where we partner with churches around Cork and Kerry, out of the 10 churches, only 2 have what we'd call a church building. The others meet in schools and community centres, and yet all are still local churches, as they are gatherings of God's people, God's local people who meet together on a regular basis. So a New Testament church is a local assembly of people, committed followers of Jesus, who regularly gather together to have his word taught and obeyed, to corporately worship, to pray together, and include the Lord's command to baptize and to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Acts chapter 2, 42. This is the overwhelming majority of what the word church refers to in the New Testament. A local, living, and loving collection of people committed to following Jesus and committed to loving and serving one another. Now, there are passages in the New Testament that also refer to the wider church. That is the church universal. Followers of Jesus all across the world who meet in various locations and different times and who have met throughout history. And all were followers of Jesus. Jesus speaks of this universal church when he said to Peter in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. This wasn't one local church. This was the church worldwide, the universal body of the followers of Jesus. When we meet with believers from different parts of the world, this is a beautiful thing, to feel the oneness and unity of knowing and serving the same Lord Jesus and how much we have in common because of that. And we often pray for and feel for the suffering, persecuted church, where being a Christian is a dangerous thing. We often remember them in prayer because they are our brothers and sisters. They are fellow church members, even though we've never met them or seen them. The local church's purpose in the New Testament teaches us that it's for followers of Jesus. The church is for those who've been given new birth through the work of God's Holy Spirit in their lives and who regularly meet together to worship God corporately and to love and encourage and support one another in their Christian walk. The world says, put yourself first and put others next, if it is convenient. But God says, love me above all else, love others before yourself. And think of that word joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. That is the attitude God expects from us. When Paul wrote to the different local churches in his letters, or epistles as we call them, Paul wrote as if these churches were made up entirely of believers, people who were followers of Jesus. He addressed them so often as saints, those who God had chosen. The church was his body of Christ, was the body of Christ, the local collection of Christians committed to Christ and to each other. And as we meet here, each Sunday here in Westside Baptist Church, you are meeting with a body of believers, and you are part of this local church. We are not a perfect church, let me stress that. Someone once said, if you find the perfect church, don't join it, as then it won't be perfect. Church is made up of saved sinners who are not perfect. Joining a church doesn't save us any more than doing good works or any other self-effort. The local church is a gathering of people who have responded to Jesus' invitation to repent and believe the good news by trusting in him alone as their saviour and give eternal life. Mark 1:15. Church isn't one person. Church is a gathering of two or more who gather in the name of Jesus to worship God together, to pray to the Lord together, to receive God's word, and to break bread. The local church is an essential part of the Christian walk. We are not alone. It is a group of followers of Jesus who you meet with, share life with, who know you by name, who pray for one another, who carry one another's burdens, who celebrate with you, who mourn with you, who help you to love and know God better, and help you to serve God in different ministries, as together reaching out to others with the good news of the gospel of Jesus. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the writer tells us, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Three things mentioned here in these verses. Spur one another on, number one. Encourage each other. Others grow towards love and good deeds. Secondly, meeting together. Difficult to encourage others if they're not meeting up together. It should be something we look forward to. Attending church is something we make a habit of doing, not a habit of not doing. And thirdly, encourage one another. We meet together to encourage and to be encouraged. We have an end in view. We look forward to what? We look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus for his church. There are different pictures of the church used in the New Testament. And here are three different pictures of the church found in the New Testament. Firstly, the family of God. Galatians 6:10 tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in Ephesians 2:19, Paul writes to the Gentile believers in Ephesus, so now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. When we attend church, we meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of the family of God. The church is your family. Secondly, there's the picture of the church as the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5:22 to 33, where Paul compares Christ's love and the care of the church to a husband's love and care for his wife, his bride. And at the end of the New Testament, we also read of how the church as the bride is being prepared for the bridegroom, the Lamb of God. That is the Lord Jesus in Revelation 21. And then there's a third picture of the church being compared to the body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 31. Paul talks about the church compared to being a body. Although it is one body, it is made up of many parts, all united and together. The church is like a body where every part is needed, and all parts exist to serve one another. Different skills, purposes, and spiritual gifts, yet every believer is equally important for the full functioning of the church. All members of the church are interdependent. Romans 12 verse 5 says, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to the rest of the body, and Christ is the head of the church. So we've looked at what the Bible says church is, and question can be asked, well, like the book says here, why bother with church? Why do we bother? You could get this kind of response from a person saying, I follow Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't have anything against it. I just don't need it. I'm fine on my own. I can have church while relaxing at home on a Sunday morning. I can download the latest and best worship music. It's really better than anything you get here. I can listen to sermons. I can even choose which sermon topics I listen to and which I don't listen to. Can't I just have a relationship with the Lord? Does Christianity have to come with Christians? You cannot claim Christ but avoid his people. If God is your father, then his children are your family. Church is not a meeting you attend, but a body that you are a family member and that you belong to. And you are not an audience, you are a participant. Yes, you can come to receive, but you can also come to give. Come to be encouraged, but also to encourage. When Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9, he said to Paul, or Saul is his name then, why do you persecute me? And he says again, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Twice the Lord accuses Paul of persecuting him. Paul was persecuting the church, but in doing so, Jesus implied that he was persecuting him. Whatever you do to them, you do to me. The church is Christ's. Of course, there will be valid reasons why we cannot attend church. Health, employment, holidays, aging, family circumstances, or emergencies that crop up. But do we prioritize attending church? Church is the local gathering of God's people. It's not just the teaching or the music, because we can experience these without attending church. But worshiping the Lord together is a corporate activity. Listening to God's word taught is also a corporate activity. Listening to God's word, praying together, celebrating the Lord's Supper together, as God's people would all be missed out if not attending church regularly. It's like that single glowing coal taken out of a fire and set on the hearth by itself. It will soon lose its glow while all the other coals keep glowing together. Meeting with other believers, God's church, is one of the key ways in which God encourages us in our faith. And also, we can encourage others too. The New Testament talks about building one another up in the faith, and of times when we need to carefully correct and sometimes rebuke one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:15, and Galatians 6:1. The church is where we as believers experience loving challenge and accountability. It is the church that we as followers of Jesus can baptize believers. We can welcome new members. We can share the Lord's Supper together, love and support one another, and encourage and build one another up. The church should be a light in the community to those without Christ. It is in the life of the church that the gospel truth is lived out and worked through in practice. In 1 Corinthians 12:18 and 20, Paul tells us that truth about that there are many parts but one body. The followers of Jesus that make up the local church are not here by accident. They're here by God's plan. There's no spare parts, no one who is unnecessary or doesn't need the rest of the church. That includes each one of us. God has chosen to include and use you and me. Your local church is vital to you, and you are vital to your local church. Why would there be need for elders and deacons if there were no local churches for them to serve and lead? When Paul planted churches, he appointed elders, or he asked others to do the task. The churches needed leadership put in place. Acts 14:23, we read, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord. And notice that leadership is always plural. The New Testament never talks of a local church having one in leadership, but rather a number of elders being appointed. And here at Westside, we have three elders. They are Luke and John Mark and myself. We were appointed by the members of the church. And 1 Timothy 3, 1-7 and Titus 1, 5-9, we have a description for the qualities of how to appoint elders and what they should be like. And then in 1 Timothy 3:18 and or 3 verse 8 to 13, we have qualifications for deacons. And we have deacons And they're a separate role to elders. Their role is more focused on the practical and administrative duties of the local church. And the deacons here in our local church at Westside are Alan and Dave. And we ask you to please keep us as leaders of this local church in your prayers as we serve the church. Here in Westside, we take the biblical model of members of the church being the final authority in decision-making. Church members elect elders, deacons, people applying for church membership. They vote on other matters like any change to our church constitution. Maybe you would like to have a read of our church constitution, or if anyone here would like a copy, please ask one of the elders if you're interested. Or if you'd like to become a member of the church, please talk to us. The members of Westside Church, Baptist Church, have responsibilities and privileges as noted in the church constitution. It's the responsibility and privilege of each member too. And we have four things. Endeavor to maintain the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace and avoid causes of division, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavor with God's help to walk in holiness, godliness, and brotherly love, 1 Thessalonians 4:1-3. Support the work of the church at all times by prayer, presence, and in practical ways, Acts 2:42-47. And respect its leadership and accept its discipline, Hebrews 13:17. And also in our church constitution, we have a covenant which reads, recognizing our own unworthiness and weaknesses, we now, with God's help, covenant to give ourselves first to God and then to his local church. That we will at all times be loyal to each other, being patient with one another's shortcomings and failures, seeking to maintain the unity of the Spirit and avoid causes of division. Two, that we will endeavor to be present at all times, if possible, at gatherings of the church and will support its ministries by prayer and practical giving. Three, that we will seek to live a life of holiness before God, the church, and the world, and endeavor to live at peace with all men. And four, that we will pray for and encourage those who hold office in the church in the discharge of their duties. And there are a few excerpts from our church constitution. We have a statement of faith in the constitution. So you'd be very welcome to have a read of that and just ask us if you'd like a copy. As regular attenders in this local church, though not necessarily members, we are delighted that you have made Westside your spiritual home for those who regularly gather with us here. We would ask you to pray for the church, for the ministries of the church, for those who attend the church and are connected to the church, for our children and young people, for those we reach out to, and the missionaries we support. And you see the mission board at the back to see who we support. Maybe take some on board and pray for them regularly. Katina is our church mission secretary, and if you chat with her, I know she'd be pleased to include you, supplying you with information that we receive from various mission agencies and personnel. This helps you to follow and pray for these ministries and these missionaries serving the Lord. Just to finish up with Ken Noakes in his book, looks at two contrasting pictures which show two attitudes that we can have to the local church. We can have, number one, we can have the me first church. Imagine a church full of people who put the gospel second, a place where people who are first and foremost out for themselves, observers but not participants, a time to turn up when there's nothing better to do, a place where it's more about social connection rather than a commitment to the gospel. A place where you are to be served rather than to serve. A place where helpful and sometimes hard things can't be said to spur one another on. A place where accountability is only an ideal. This would be a confusing place because it's not clear what it means to be a follower of Jesus, as being a Christian is not obvious from the deeds of the people who attend church. Maybe you hardly know anyone who gather with you. They are just acquaintances because you haven't made the effort maybe to get to know them, or because you don't attend that regularly enough to make friends. We as followers of Jesus are brothers and sisters in Christ and are part of God's family. Get to know your local family, your local church family. Know them, love them, and pray for them. That's one, the Me First Church. But then there's the Love God, Then Others Church. Now imagine a church that puts the gospel first, a church where those who attend ask themselves, what does the gospel ask of me? A church where people grasp hold of each other in responsibility and love, a church where repentance is valued, belief is honored, and obedience is encouraged. A church that reflects the confidence in the saving blood of the Lord Jesus, a church where each week what is taught from God's word is taken seriously. And what is sung and read and prayed is intentional. A church where followers of Jesus serve for the sake of others and even at their own expense. This is a place where a follower of Jesus can be taught, rebuked, corrected, and encouraged without offense or indignation. It's a place where we can be lovingly accountable. A place where people can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. A place where people protect their time to ensure they don't miss out on meeting together. A place where there is ownership. We are the church. It is a place where friendships matter. The love of God, to love God and then others, church, is a church we find in the New Testament. It is what makes it distinct from all other organizations, clubs, societies, etc. It is unique. It is God's family meeting, committed to loving God and loving others before ourselves. It's about putting the gospel first. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 reminds us what we as followers are in Christ Jesus. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We are God's special possession. We've been called out of darkness and into his wonderful light, and we have received mercy. And reading Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, pray as we gather regularly together that we would be equipped for works of service. We would be united in the gospel, that we become more mature, and that we would be steadfast in the truth, and that we would build one another up. So here this morning, we have another essential for the follower of Jesus, membership, being part of a local church, a gathering of God's family. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your church, both universal and local. We pray for the gathering of your people right across the world. And we also pray for the assembly of your people here at Westside Baptist Church and other churches that meet in our locality that preach the gospel and faithful to the truth of your word. Help us as followers of Jesus to see this essential of regularly meeting together to worship you as part of the family of God. Help us support and encourage and pray for one another as a family, as the bride of Christ, as the body of believers. And we ask these things in and through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.